Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you again for this time. Now, Lord, I yield myself to you. I am your servant, and I will obey you, Lord. Have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, we invite you and release you to bring our Father's will into this house, to accomplish in each life what your plan and purpose is, Lord. For this we thank you. We thank you for the living word that is here, and I yield myself to speak that living word this morning according to your plan and purpose. Hide me behind the cross. Let all honor and all glory go to the Lamb of God. In Jesus' name and to our Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's just take a minute before the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I had some thoughts just come up in my heart, and I'm going to be obedient. The Lord says, not now, so we're going to not go there. Be here Wednesday night. Patrick speaking, but I may have just a little bit to talk about just for a couple of minutes. Anyway, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew, the 6th chapter, please. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Praise the Lord. How many of you, and you don't have to show your hands, just understand God knows, this week for just a moment, in some place, either we're worried about finances, something physical, something emotional, and it kind of captured you, even if it was just for a moment before you came to your senses and realized what was going on and you took authority over it or God ministered to you in the midst of that. Anybody besides me? Praise the Lord. You know, the longer I walk with God and the more I serve Him, the more I spend time with Him, you know, sometimes it's just in everyday life as you just sit and you meditate on the Word, you meditate on Him, on His goodness. God brings things up in your spirit. They're not real demonstrative, but they are meaningful. They bring a peace and a comfort to you, which is what they're designed to do. Amen? And so I got to thinking, and I was reminded by the Holy Spirit of how many times we, through circumstances, whatever the circumstance is, a little short on our paycheck, some kind of something that's got our emotions all shook up, all turned upside down and inside out, or there's some kind of a physical infirmity that tries to come, or an attack on our body that tries to come, and we attempt to take, hopefully we attempt right away to put all those things down, amen? And God began to show me and began to tell me, and I began to see a picture that I had never seen before. Plain as the nose on my face, and so simple that that's probably why I didn't see it. And I got excited. I got excited. I know y'all have never seen me excited, but the point is, I really got excited. Because I began to see something that goes along with, if any of you have been listening to and giving heed to the Presence of the Lord tapes that Stan sent, this is part of that presence of the Lord. Let me paint a picture for you if I can with the help of God. Help of the Holy Spirit. Picture, if you will, Christ, who is the head, we as the body, sitting with Him at the right hand of our Father, with the enemy as the footstool under our feet. It's under His feet, it's under our feet, right? And here we are as the body. We know what the Bible says about the body, how it all works, fitly joined together, and that every joint and everything supplies what it needs for that body. And yet, we struggle with minor details because we're not convinced that God really, really, really has made the provision, or that that provision is for us, or that we have the ability to walk in that. And because of that struggle, sometimes we miss out on the blessing of God. We may say or do something that totally goes against the Word, which can, for a moment, stop the blessing of God until we get in our right mind. The picture I want to paint for you this morning, I'm not going to just blurt it out here. I want to go through the steps. And hopefully we're going to see how simple this really is. Your body has elements and things in it that causes you to be able to function in this life. When a physical attack comes, you have immunities and things that God has built in you that are enhanced by the proper diet and nutrition that attack those things that come against the body to cause the body harm. Is that not right? Okay? So you are complete. Your body is complete. And there's nothing lacking in your body, is there? Okay? Now, there may be some symptoms of things, but your body has most everything. Doesn't mean the enemy can't come and try to attack in some way that brings you to a place where you need to trust God and have somebody pray with you and for you and to keep standing on the Word, right? Okay? Real quickly, if you will, just stand with me for a moment. We'll give honor to God's Word. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Focus on verse 8. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and they may be seen, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father, say my Father, knows the things that you, say my Father knows the things that I have need of before I ask. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. That amen means so be it. Nothing more needs to be said. Amen. Now then, what we see is a father does what he needs to do to take care of and provide the needs of his family, his children, amen, his offspring, his wife. Are we not the body of Christ? Are we not the bride of Christ? Amen. So if that's the case, why do we worry about things in our lives? When the Bible specifically says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about these things that we worry about all the time. Am I going to have enough money? Am I going to have a roof over my head? A little attack that comes physically. Maybe it's a major attack. The enemy causes these things to happen in our lives. Well, there's several reasons, but when he attacks, it's to take what? Our focus from where? The truth. Okay? The way, the truth, and the life. And these are a person. They are the person of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Praise the Lord. I thought y'all went to Sunday dinner there for a minute. Anyway. So what we understand is, and when we talk again about the body, if we're the body, then that body has been designed and is put together so that it will take care of itself, or the head. Our Father takes care of us, and then the head takes care of the body. We're going to look at Matthew 6, 24 through 34 for just a couple of moments. Matthew 6, 24 through 34. All scriptures we know about, actually probably verse 33. No, we'll do through 34. Let's just start. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, we know he's talking about money there. But the thing that captured my attention here, it says we can't serve two masters. And the question is, who is the master in yours, in my life? Is it our feelings, our emotions, our lacks, our wants? Or is it God, whose word can never change or be stopped? A thought for consideration. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now, I didn't say don't pray, it said don't worry. Amen? What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, if we really believe that, why is it that we put so much importance on these things? These are things, how many know financial distress can really put stress on a relationship? Most of you have been there, done that, got the t-shirt, trophy and ribbon to go with it. Put stress on it. Why? Number one, because you're worrying. Doesn't your Bible say cast your care on the Lord because He cares for you? We need to get an understanding of what that really means. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus come because the Father sent him to redeem animals? Or did he come to redeem mankind? That ought to demonstrate to us right there the value he has put on us. Why that value? Once again, we know why. Because he created us for fellowship with him. When we became born again, because of the plan of God, we were adopted into the family of God. We then became heirs and joint heirs. Is a son and a daughter not an heir of the Father? Amen? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? How many of you grow by worrying? Physically or emotionally or any other way? I don't see any hands. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more, listen, read carefully, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, we're not talking about the negative side of this. This is not what this is about. But he's asking a question. We have to consider for a moment, though, where is our faith? Therefore, do not worry. Now, that didn't sound like a suggestion. That sounded like a command. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Did you see that? Let's don't just gloss over that. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. What does Philippians 4:19 say? It says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to whose riches? His riches in glory by whom? Christ Jesus. What was the work done on the cross? Restoration. The sin issues dealt with. Amen? You're not convinced. Or I'm not convinced you're convinced. The sin issue's been dealt with. I'm talking about that which leads you to death and destruction. Are you on the same page with me? It's been dealt with. And we struggle with that. Again, because of things we've been taught, things people have spoken over our lives. See, we've been taught that it just can't be that easy. Things are required of you. If you mess up, you may not get forgiveness again by men, but there's no again in God. We walk in forgiveness. Amen? Are y'all not agreeing with me, or is this not... Folks, you ought to be getting excited about now. He knows, in verse 32, our Heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Does it strike you as odd that somebody, for instance, your child, would come to you worried and all upset, and, Dad, I really hope that you'll help me, and you'll buy me this pair of shoes so I don't get cold, and so that I don't get wet, or so that I don't step on something that'll poke my foot? How many of you fathers and mothers would stood around waiting for your kids to do that? Didn't you just automatically meet their need? Hello? Oh my goodness, how simple is that? And yet we cry and we beg and we whine, oh God! Now y'all know what I'm talking about. Verse 33 makes it very clear. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. You see, you can't seek the kingdom of God, and you can't follow after righteousness if you don't have your needs, no matter what that need is, met. Because your focus is on what you don't have. And yet God has told us in His Word that it's my good pleasure to give to you the kingdom down here. Still with me? I'm getting goosebumps, folks. This is too awesome. Therefore, do not worry. Another command about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry of its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Luke 6, 34 through 36. Luke 6, 34 through 36. And when you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? From whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that for you, to you? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, that your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Okay. That is not what I thought I had, what I was looking at. Okay, I read 34 through 36. I want to look at... Okay. All right. I must have been asleep when I wrote that down. There was a reason why I put it there. I'll trust God that that's the case. But anyway, all right, we'll move on. We won't go there. The scripture that I was looking for is the one that talks about that our eye is the window of our body. Okay. In this life, too many times, we all know that we operate on the things we see and the things that are around us. And we, because of the type of people this society has become, we look for whatever we can get, wherever we can get it, and we strive for things rather than resting, living in the peace of God. Does your body, does your arm, if you hurt your arm, cry out to you and say, oh, please take care of me. Please, please do something to help this hurt. If you've got a cut, does it say, please bandage me? No, the body automatically responds. The head's telling the body, okay, we've got a problem down here, let's get on it. Let's get on it. Do you understand that your arm doesn't have to ask for assistance? It's automatically there. First of all, your brain's telling the rest of you, okay, we need to cover this up, we need to get a bandage, we need to put it on, or to go seek help, if that's what's necessary. But then also, immediately, what's inside of you, what's already there, that's been provided by your creation, the way you were created, antibodies and things are running to that, causing clots and things, so that the problem's getting solved, even as you speak. You don't see the immediate result, but you know that it's happening. Amen? Pretty soon it stops bleeding, because it clots. A little while later, a scab forms. A little while later, it's taken care of, isn't it? It's all in you. How much more you being a part of the body of Christ, seated at the Father's right hand, do you need to worry about what your needs are? No. Father takes care of those things. He's designed it. He's designed the body of Christ so that everything you need as you dwell in the presence of God, in the place of God, with Him and in His Word, your needs are met because of the fact that you are hooked into and the fact that you've been grafted into that vine. That vine supplies everything that you need for life, to sustain life and to continue growing in that vine. Amen? Colossians 1, 17 through 20. We're going to look at that so that we have it established that I'm not just talking through this hole in my head. Colossians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Say, in Him all things consist.
In Him all things consist.
And He is the head of the body, the church. Okay, He's defined right now that He's the head of the body, which is the church. Amen? Are we not part of the church? Okay. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Now listen carefully. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. What does that mean? That means everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that's necessary for you to function and be able to do the work and the will of God. Amen? For you to function in this life. Amen? Even the strength to go out and do a job and do it heartily as unto the Lord. You can't do that if you're not fed properly, if you're not clothed properly with the changing of the seasons, if you don't have everything that it takes to sustain life. Where did everything that it takes to sustain life come from to begin with? Remember, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Are you guys starting to catch a picture here? And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless, above reproach in His sight. Indeed, you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, am a minister. We went a little further than I planned, but that's okay. See, the thing that I want you to understand is by being in His presence, by you being a part of the body, not a body, the body of Christ. Is there anything lacking in that body? Is there anything, any schism in that body? In the Lord, was there anything lacking? Y'all aren't real quick to answer. Am I losing you? If I am, you need to speak up. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Let me just tell you what happened. Because of the nonsense, and I'm going to call it that, that happened over Thanksgiving, the outward appearance is that I'm in lack. Now, these are my thoughts. You understand what I'm saying? And as I'm sitting there thinking about this and everything, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit rises up once again and the Word begins to take hold, because that's what I have made my decision to do, is fill myself with the Word of God. Now, when I say Word, that doesn't just mean the words in this book. That means the presence of the living Word in my life also. And because that presence is in my life and it's in your life, that's what causes you to react in a right way and stop thinking in a wrong way and come back to the right focus. Are y'all with me? Okay? And I realized, how is it that I am a part of the body of Christ? I am a part of the King. Are you with me? I'm sitting there in the presence of God. How is it possible that I can suffer any lack of any kind? It's impossible. Oh. Are you convinced, or are you just nodding your heads like you're hoping so? Think about this. In God's presence, is there anything that's not handled or under control, or anything that's withheld? Are you sure? Are you sure? I'm convinced. I'm convinced. That's part of the presence of God. If you keep worrying about the things that are pertain to your physical being for your survival, how do you get the time, or how can you work the works of God according to His plan? You can't. Because your focus will be on making a living or running to the doctor or going to see somebody who can help me with my crazy mixed up head. Y'all can nod your head, at least even if you can't say amen, sell me. In His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Ephesians 5, 22 through 30. We're not going to read it. You can read it if you want to. It basically says that Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of the wife or woman. Health flows through Christ's body. Folks, if you don't believe that, go back and read Isaiah 53, 5. But He was wounded for what? Our, yours and my transgressions. He was bruised for yours and my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Did He come out of the grave beat up and looking terrible? There was evidence of what He had done to prove that He really did do it for those who would be skeptical or scoffers. So if that's the case, listen to what it says there in the last part. It says, and by His stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, listen carefully now, says, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, what does that mean? That means the kind of disobedience that took effect and happened in the garden when they said, God, we know what You said, we don't care. We want what we want. Which caused separation. It's the reason Jesus had to come. Did Jesus do a partial work on that cross?
No, just full work.
What was His last words?
It's finished.
Amen. It's finished. So in 1 Peter 2:24 it says, He who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might what? Live for righteousness. By whose stripes, what's that word, next word? You were healed. So if you were in Isaiah 20, or if you were in 1 Peter 2:24, and if you are in Isaiah 53:5, is that health stifled in any way in the body of Christ? Do you have the ability to be in His presence day in and day out, every moment of every day? Then is it incomprehensible that you can walk in health and that health flows through you every day because it's important for you to be able to accomplish the King and the Father's will in this earth for His kingdom's sake? Is that beyond the realm of possibility or you're being able to believe? I don't think so. I got excited because peace came over me. I realized that my confession needs to be exactly what the Word says, and the Word says my needs are met. He says, He knows. Doesn't your brain receive the signal when something's going on in your body? So that it knows, your brain knows before even maybe even really understand the symptoms. Know that something's going on. And immediately by design, would it be any different in the body of Christ than it is in the human body? Do you think that design was there from the foundations of the world? So that it operates in us, and that your body reacts to the way it was designed in the image and likeness of God? Philippians 4:19, in closing. And what? My God. Say, my God. Shall supply, and I've written this in a different colored ink, all your need according to what?
His
riches in glory. By who?
By Christ,
by Christ Jesus. Amen. And if all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily, and you're in Him and He's in you, is there any separation there? In His presence, walking with Him, surrendering to the knowledge that you are His body, accomplishing His will, His Father's will, in this earth, and knowing that Satan is your footstool, what is lacking or should be considered to be lacking in our lives? Nothing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope this affected you the way it affected me. It brought great peace to me, and it caused me to see that I really have nothing to worry about. You know why? Because it's not based on me. Do you understand? It's not based on you or I. It's based on Him, His completed, finished work. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In a rich family, we've all seen the television shows, the way they portray them, but in a family that has great wealth, do the siblings or the children lack anything? Nothing. Some of us might consider it a crime the way they're treated. Well, that's because we're selfish, and we say, man, why is that me? But you see, folks, in God it is you, and it is me. Amen? It is you and me. By being in His presence, there is nothing withheld from you. There is nothing that you don't have. Amen? Praise the Lord. That ought to excite us. You just have to come to the realization that He's talking about you. Close your eyes for a minute and say, He's talking about me. Amen. He's talking about me. Praise the Lord. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. Karen and Bob, He's talking about you. Harry and Marie, Bob and Karen, or Bob and Fran, excuse me. Jean, Deborah, Georgian, Bill, Kemp, Patrick, He's talking about you. Amen? If we speak the Word of God, which can't change, just like that scrape, it's healing because that's the natural process that God designed. But you don't see it in every case. I want to qualify this because God can do supernatural, exciting things. But you see the different processes. Just because you got a cut there doesn't mean that that healing process didn't begin the moment that injury took place. Amen? When you speak the word, just because you don't see it instantaneously, does not change the fact that you have spoken what is the word of God over your life or over somebody else's life, and as a result, it's happening right then and there, the moment you spoke it, and in due season, sometimes instantly. Remember what the Bible says about the sower? Sows the sower, sows the seed of the word, and some took root, brought immediate results. And some in different times brought 30, 60, 100 fold. Amen? Isn't it already in effect? So once you prayed and you've spoken the Word of God, better yet, not praying, speaking the Word of God. What does the Bible say about the Word? In Hebrews, doesn't it say it's living, alive, and powerful? Then you've already spoke creative word into a situation, or spoken the truth because of the work that Jesus did. And it's affecting your life, or the life that you sent it to affect immediately. Whether you see the outcome immediately or not, that doesn't change it. When you plant a seed in the ground, sometimes that seed, depending on the time that you plant it, all of a sudden you'll see a sprout come up. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, a little bit of careful care, before you see that little sprout come up. And then as you go on and you see that seed, you don't see it sit dormant. You see it begin to bring forth more evidence of the fact that it's doing what it was supposed to do by God's design. Are you not much more than the birds? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19 didn't say he might, if he feels like it. Everything's going well that day for him. Don't look at me that way. I know we all have those kind of goofy thoughts. It says, my God shall supply what? All of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If He's the author of everything and it's in His hands, would He withhold? No. Why? The whole key is because what? He loves us. And by His admission, He loves us, and He has loved us with an everlasting love. Never ending. Amen? Never ending. Doesn't the Scripture say, in Him you are complete? Are you complete today? Even if you're not sure, at least make the confession, I am complete in Him. Put that process in place by speaking the right words. And keep saying it until you're convinced. Do you hear me? Keep saying it till you're convinced. See, you'll never be able to minister to somebody else until you're convinced. Amen? Are you convinced today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm full this morning. How about you? I'm full this morning. Full of the knowledge, full of the presence of God, as well as full in every aspect. And I've made my decision based on what God spoke to me before I ever came in here today that brought about what I believe He spoke to my heart, which was this message. My bank account's full. That I'm whole. I'm healthy. I'm not seeking it. It flows through my veins because I am a part of that body in which the one who died paid the price so that that healing could flow through His body. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shout to the Lord, folks. Shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just relax. Breathe in the presence of God. Let Him do a little thought rearranging and a thought adjusting in your life this morning. If you need to, say, "I receive it." Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Along with that bank account being full, the Bible says you'll be a lender, not a borrower. You'll be able to be beyond being blessed, but to be a blessing. How many want to go to that stage in their life? Amen? Hallelujah. That's when you know that you really have laid your life down. And you've taken on the life of Christ. Amen? And your focus is completely off you. And your focus is on somebody else to see and to meet their need. However God speaks to you to do it. What about a laying on of hands and praying for a desired outcome? Whether it's by giving a word fitly spoken in season, by giving out of the abundance God's given you. Remember, we've talked about the fact that we pray too often, too narrowly. Lord, meet my need. I'm waiting for the day that it takes hold, the prayer that's in my heart. God, I want more than enough, not for my selfishness, so that not only I'm taken care of because it's your plan, but I have an abundance to bless somebody else with. See, your focus is not on you anymore at that point. It's on others, the way God's focus is. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have you received something from the Lord today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a good time to thank you, man. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anybody who needs any help with anything this morning? Prayer of any kind? Then we indeed are a blessed people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't be ashamed. You know? Remember, the seed goes in and it brings forth fruit in its season. If there's something you need, there's no shame in saying, you know what, I have a need right now. I'm not at that place, but I'm getting there. Amen? Thank you, Lord. We are a blessed people in every way, in every aspect. Amen? Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. A good report. A good report. For those of you who didn't understand, Harry said he came to Bob and asked, by myself, and asked us to pray. We prayed, and what he asked is handled. Amen. Praise the Lord. Healed. Hallelujah. I'm not shocked, are you? No. I'm excited, and I'm thankful, but I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for these people, Lord. Thank you for this place that you've set us in, that you've set me in, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being able to speak as you give me instruction to speak your word. which brings change, direction, correction, peace, insight, understanding by the Holy Spirit. Thank you that your Spirit and your Word agree, and that your Word, when it's sent, accomplishes what it was sent to do. And it will not, it cannot, it does not return void. Seal your Word in these hearts, Lord. Now, Lord, we sanctify the food and the fellowship. We love you. We receive it with thanksgiving, Lord, and we thank you for your continued presence in our lives, both in this place, in our own homes that you've supplied for us, and in our lives. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.